Okay, guys, I'm sorry about whatever happened with Anchor. I have to start that over. Sorry, guys, we're back on. Okay, so if you choose the way of the Lord, and has anybody ever like sacrificed everything and say, I choose the way of the Lord. This is what he wants for me. This is what he's doing. And this is where I'm going. And this is what I'm going to do, right? Have we chose that? And then after you choose, then everything starts falling apart.
Everything gets all broken.
Has that ever happened to you before?
Yes, it just happened.
Has it ever happened?
Yes.
You said it just happened?
It just happened.
Some for us, it just happened. Some of us, it has happened. Some of us have experienced this. That as soon as I choose the way, God, I know you said this is for me. Don't choose that distraction or don't do this, don't do that. God, you know what this is for me. And as soon as I chose you, that's when everything just all went out. It all went left. Why? What happened? How could this happen? God, I chose you. I didn't choose nobody else. I didn't choose the wrong way. You said this is what you wanted me to do. This is what you said you wanted me to go. I said, okay. I finally surrendered. And now we're here. Oh, my God, right? What a way. What a faith. What a type of faith. And what a way that, you know, that it's just like, wow. Like, Lord, like, ah. And then you start getting to the place where the enemy wants you to start doubting. Well, maybe I didn't hear right. Maybe I didn't do that right. Maybe I did not say this right. Maybe I took too many Benadryl. I'll just talk. Maybe I took too many Benadryl, and maybe what I thought was the Lord was maybe me. I was just too high that day. I was just way too high. I was just way too high. I ate too much food. You know, I was full of, you know, past my capacity anyway. So, you know, maybe I was right, you know. And so that's what we start seeing. And we start doubting ourselves where the Lord is saying, no, this is what I'm saying. That is what I said.
Yeah.
And you did choose right. Now, I want to show you guys the scripture. That's why we're here. Matthew chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible talks about Jesus. I love this. The Lord was speaking to me today, y'all. I felt like preaching today.
Come on.
I felt like preaching today. It was crazy, right? I'm at work this morning. The Lord has been talking to me about this all week. Because you guys, as you guys know, and I'll just tell you guys a story. You guys know I try to tell you guys about me every Thursday. Yeah. As much as possible. And so he was dealing with me this week. You guys know I started school. And so you guys know I've been telling everybody. The Lord is saying, tell me to go back to school. The Lord is doing all this. Soon as I hit Monday, I get all these assignments, and I have been on something vicious. I ain't been on nothing no good. Literally, it was so bad that on Sunday night, right before I started school, I could not sleep. My anxiety was so bad. I remember waking up. I literally was going back and forth, rolling. I could not sleep at all. And I said, Lord, I said, God, you said, finally when I got to the last part where I was just sick of it because I wanted to go to sleep. Because I had to get up at 7 that morning. So I'm like, you know what, God? I'm sick of wrestling. But I'm going to tell you your word, and then I'm going to just go back to sleep. So now it's in your hands. So on Sunday night at 3 o'clock in the morning by that time, I'm sitting there, I'm laying there, and I said, God, you told me to go back to school. So this is your word. I'm giving it back to you. God, I don't want to fail.
Ooh, yes. God, that's good.
Yes.
What I don't see and what I don't believe and what I don't have in myself, I don't want to do that.
Yes.
I don't want to choose this way and say that you told me to do this and the next thing you know, I fail. God, I know this is not your will, so I give it to you. Have your way, and we're going to do whatever you got to do.
That's
so
much you.
And I gave it to God.
Yes.
Here comes Monday. I have so much homework.
Y'all,
I still got homework that I still got to do today. That's due tonight.
At
11:59. At 11:59. At 11:59. At 11:59.
Listen.
And so I said, okay, God. So I get there, y'all. I've never had anxiety before, but I'm telling you, this week, it's come out.
Yeah.
It's come out so vicious.
Yep.
I'm like, Lord, what is this? I'm sick of this. You know, I just want to blame everything. And I've just been in such a place where I'm nervous.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Lord, I just don't want it. And that's been my main thing. I don't want to fail. I don't want to choose the way that I chose in high school.
Yes.
I don't want that way no more. I really want to succeed, do what I got to do, get this degree, and move on with my life. It even got to the point where I was like, Lord, I got to go through all this anxiety for 4 years? I think not. No, I'm not lying. I'm not lying. So, Lord, I really have to go through this for 4 years. If that's what that is, and God, you know what? Maybe we need to talk again. I think there's some easier ways that we can get through this. I mean, you know, some great people have made it without college, Lord. You can have your way, you know. You know, and so, this week has been so stressful for me. And after saying I'll remove all distractions, I'll do all this, I get where God wants me to be, and then that's when I choose. And that's when the enemy comes and starts throwing me curbs. Now, this is where we're going to the Bible. This is where I told you I feel like preaching today. God just started speaking to me. And he started giving me these scriptures. So this is where the Lord starts speaking to me today. And he starts talking to me. How are you doing, Pastor? Good. And so this is where the Lord starts speaking. Matthew chapter 4, where the Bible says that the enemy had seen Jesus. Now, the Bible says that Jesus was on a 40-day and 40-night fast.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Bible says that the enemy, that Jesus was on top, we'll just paraphrase it, Jesus is on top of a mountain, and the enemy shows up, and he shows up to tempt him. Now, let's go to the scripture, because I don't want to paraphrase through this whole thing, but I do want to make sure that we're in the Word. So, we are there, Matthew chapter 4. Say it again, ma'am. First one. So, okay, so let's read this. Okay, I'm going to read this. I'm going to actually go to...
You said Matthew chapter 1.
I know you're lying. I need this to... Okay. I'm going to be reading out the King James Version because my computer want to be tripping. Okay, stop. Okay. Okay, so the Bible says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made of bread. Now, you hungry? You've been fasting.
And you got some, right?
And that's what he'll do. That's the crazy thing. He'll throw the truth, but he'll also throw a lie.
Uh-huh.
And he'll say, well, if you that person, then prove it.
Right.
And so the Bible says that the enemy had told him, go, if you that guy,
if you that guy,
these stones, it ain't nothing for you. You bad. You bet. Turn this into some bread. Now this is where I'm gonna have to do another version, because I need you guys to get this. And this is what the Amplified is bomb. Amplified is bomb. I want you guys to look at that if you can. I'm gonna read it though. Amplified version is amazing, guys. So this is what it says. Okay, he fasted, became very hungry. During that time, the devil came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become loaves of bread. But Jesus told him, no, the scripture says, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Okay, then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, to the highest point of the temple, and said, if you are the Son of God, jump off. For the scripture says,
He will order his angels to protect you.
Ooh, he's so cold, bro.
And they will hold you up with their hands.
Ooh, can I just throw that? Okay. I remember I looked up that one day, and that is a legit scripture in Psalms, I believe. It's in Psalm of Proverbs. And it's like crazy to think that the enemy will take a whole scripture and use it out of context to try to get like, but mics. It was the full, it's in the Bible, though. It's not like he was lying. It is true.
And it is
but
true.
He distorts the truth.
Right.
Yeah, always.
Okay.
And the way he plays.
So you won't even hurt your foot on the stone. Jesus responded, the scripture says also, you must not test the Lord your God. This is what I want us to notice, and I'll talk about that later. Next, the devil took him into the peak of a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Y'all listening? And their glory. I will give it all to you, says the devil. He said, if you will kneel down and worship me. And then the Bible says that Jesus said, get out of here, Satan. I'm in the Message Bible. Jesus told him, for the scripture says, you must worship the Lord, your God. I'm sorry, I've been saying I'm in the Message. I'm in NLT, my bad. You must worship the Lord, your God, and serve only him. Because I love what the Message says. And it shall never, what is the Message says something real, real fancy. If you go back up to, eight. Again, the devil took him up on a very high mountain and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world and the glory, splendor, magnificence, and excellence of them. He said to him, all these kings I will give you. If you fall down and worship me, then Jesus said to him, go away, Satan, for it is written and forever remains written. That's what I love about the Message Bible. In every, if you look at the Message Bible, and if you see when Jesus responded, he said that for everything he said back to the enemy. For it is written and forever shall be written. That's the promise of the Lord.
Because let me tell you what you're not going
to do. And it's not going to change.
Jesus, that's good.
And that's where the place we got to be. Where Jesus, when the enemy comes and he tries to tempt us and he tries to throw us this stuff, we got to be strong enough to be in the Word of God to where we say, but it is written here and it's forever written. That it's not going to change. So just in case, I may be up right now and I may have all the strength so I can tell you whatever's going on right now and I can come against you. But guess what? When I get down and out, guess what? It's still written. It's still written. So either way, if you do find me in a low place, if you do find me in a place where I may have disbelief, guess what? It's still written. No matter what.
Yes.
Jesus.
Oh my God. I'm telling y'all. This is what God has been dealing with me for, y'all. All right. Now let me show you also what the Lord had said to me. And this is a typical note that we should all know, that anytime the enemy is coming against you, anytime that you're in the will of God, that the enemy is coming to distract you. The enemy, anytime you are in the will of God, if you are doing what God is asking you to do, there shall be an enemy all the time that is coming to test you. If you are not tested and you think you're in the will of God and ain't nobody came to check on you and get on your nerves, I think you need to check the will again.
Yeah.
I'll say that again. If you think you're in the will of God and nobody came to test your faith, and nobody came to test your position, and nobody came to test and see what you're doing with your life, and no enemy came and said, what's up, boo? If ain't nobody came by to get on your nerves, I think you need to check the will again. Because you will never be in a comfortable place where the enemy will say, I'll just leave him alone. Enemy is always going to come, no matter how much strength we may have. And see, the thing is, We think as Christians or people of God, we think that, Nan is so powerful and she has so much power that the enemy is not going to come and go test her. I know he got more sense than that. Yeah, of course. He got more sense, but guess what? He's still going to do it. What we may not see and what we may not hear don't mean it's not happening. We have a lot of faith in our apostle. Our apostle is a great woman of God. I can tell you guys that. You guys know it for yourself. And she's a great woman of God. She lives exactly what the word wants her to do. Yeah, yeah. But I can't say that the enemy does not try her.
Amen. I know he does.
He do.
No, really? Yeah. And she's at the head having a cover. He can break her down.
I can't. And let me tell you something. I don't ever want us to get to the place where we think that we are in such a place in God to where we're so high where the enemy won't touch us.
Ooh, yes.
Don't you ever
think that you are in a place that God has made me an elder, so that means that I won't have as much bad temptation. The higher you go, let me tell you, the higher you go, the worse it's about to get for you.
Yes.
The worse you go, the higher you go, the worse is getting ready to get for you. The worse is getting ready. I was in school. What we learned in school the other day, one of the teachers had told us yesterday about the scripture, and it made me look at something totally different. Or it wasn't even the teacher. It was the book that I was reading. And it said that much is given to much. To whom much is given, much is required.
Yes.
Okay? So what that means is that where you think that you are, if you work on the small things, this is what the book said, you work on the small things, you work in, just because you get a higher position don't mean that you got less work. That means you got more work to do. You got more work to do. So if I'm dealing with small devils and I'm dealing with small situations in a small place, guess what? If I go higher, I'm getting ready to deal with something way bigger than me. All right, let's go on. Let's look at something else. Is this good, guys? This helping y'all?
Yes.
My God. All right, so let's go to Mark chapter 9, verse 14, and I'm going to paraphrase this one, and we're going to look at that as well. Mark chapter 9, verse 14 through 25. And this is what I was waiting. To be honest, I was waiting because, you know, we got some deep saints like Jasmine, and I love it. No, really. I love it. No, really. Because some stuff that I say, I love the way Jasmine reacts. So I know she. So this one, I actually saved for her. This one, when the Lord spoke this one, I said, oh, I can't say it until Jasmine gets here. I can't say it until Jasmine gets here. So let's go to, I just been needing to know sometimes. I just need to know. And so I said, I'm not going to say nothing, Lord, until Jasmine get here. So as soon as Jasmine went, I said, oh, Jasmine, get here,
let me say this.
So let's go to Mark chapter 9.
Chapter 9. I'm going to turn my phone around. I ain't even going to look.
So this is a story where Jesus was healing. And the Bible says that there was a group of people that came, and a man came to Jesus and said, sir, I need you to come and heal my son.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so the Bible says that he said, the guy starts talking to Jesus, and he says, I asked your disciples,
yep,
would they come and would they pray? Mm-hmm. They got scared.
Yep.
They prayed and nothing happened.
Yep.
And so Jesus comes, Jesus gets upset, the Bible says, and tells him that you are a faithless generation. How long shall I be with you? And so then the Bible says, my God, the Bible says that he goes and he casts out the devil. He tells the Bible says that as soon as the spirit seen Jesus, it automatically starts to act up. Okay? Yes. Then the Bible says, this is where I want to stop. The Bible says that Jesus spoke to the spirit and the spirit started acting up again. He the floor. The boy hit the floor and acted as if he was dead.
Wow.
And this is where I want to stop. And I ain't got my deep part yet. But this is where I want to stop. To look contrary when you speak to something and something seem. Now, you know you got power and you know you got dominion. But always the enemy is going to make sure and try to test you still when you know you're sure in your faith. Oh my God.
My God.
The enemy is always going, no matter what. And this is what the Lord had spoke to me. My God. Okay, I wrote it down, y'all. I don't want to mess this up.
Have me crossing shoes, boy.
That's right.
Now, this is what the Lord had spoke to me. The enemy will always come with the temptation to prove your flesh. I want you to just think of, just let that just stay right there.
Let me write that down.
This is what God had said to me while I'm at work. He said, the enemy will always try to tempt you to prove that your flesh was right.
The enemy
will always come with a temptation to prove your flesh. Unbelief is right.
Wow. That's
I'm going to show you that in the scripture.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Bible says that the man had asked Jesus to pray, okay? Then the Bible says that Jesus called the spirit out. The spirit acted up, had the little boy on the floor, and the boy looked at dead. Now, in our flesh and our unbelief, as well as the Bible says, before getting to where Jesus had called the spirit out, the Bible says that the man had went to Jesus and said, if you can. And Jesus got that and said, what do you mean if I can?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Who do you?
Okay.
What? The Bible says, what do you mean if I can? Do you not believe? I'm paraphrasing. And he said, it's not that I don't believe. But I have some other stuff that's telling me don't believe.
Yep.
My God.
Help me with my unbelief.
Yes.
So if I have unbelief and then I see Jesus casting out the spirit and the spirit still didn't come out, my flesh is rising to prove say, guess what?
Come on.
Okay. Woo. Okay.
I'm preaching too hard, y'all.
Okay.
The enemy comes and he comes to prove. So where Jesus is there. We know God, it ain't nothing for Jesus to cast out. I would want anybody, Jesus, right, over anybody to cast out the devil with me.
You good, but I'm gonna take
Christ over you any day. I don't care. And so the Bible says that Jesus casts out the devil, the boy hits the floor, and the spirit acted as if it was dead. So then, the Bible says that Jesus then goes to the boy, and then the boy, finally the spirit comes out of the boy. But where we would have stopped, and that's where I want us to realize, where the spirit still could have been in the boy, or where our flesh would have said, see, I knew this wasn't right. It's a spirit man that's serving God, but our flesh still got a problem to serve our God. And so where our flesh is proven right, where there's a temptation, where the enemy can say, guess what? You just said you wasn't believing a little bit, and guess what? I just proved it to you, but you got to go all the way to make sure this thing is right. Got to make sure
Jesus,
that you are for real about this thing.
Wow. My God. Wow.
And that's why I say I don't want us to get into a place where we don't think it don't. It happened to the best of us.
Yeah.
It happened to Jesus.
Oh, good.
It happened to Jesus, where he casted out a devil, and the devil still tried to act like you ain't got no power. The devil had tempted Jesus and said, "You go, if you really that bad, you go ahead and do this. You go ahead and do that. Go ahead and prove me wrong. I'll give you power. And especially the enemy will come in our weakest time. The Bible says that Jesus was fasting 40 days.
That man was hungry, hungry.
Okay. That's almost to death. Yeah.
40 days. Pastor Wally did it.
Almost 40 days.
The Bible says that Jesus fasted 40 days, and when he got to that point, that's when the enemy said, "Oh, you bad."
Right? He did wait till he was at his
weakest
moment.
And you know, when
moment.
You're hungry, you don't start making a rational decision.
Right?
Your body becomes delusional.
Come
There's
on.
So much
you
stuff
you
bad.
That happens when you're hungry. Your defense.
And so this is what I love about the Bible. The Bible says in the Message Bible that I looked at, and this is where, and we got to learn discernment, and we got to know discernment, and this is another thing that God just dropped on me, because I was looking at it and I was like, Lord, what do you mean by this? The Bible says in the Message Bible that after the enemy came and after he had stood strong against the enemy, that then the angels came to serve him. And in the Message Bible, the Bible says that the angels came to feed him and serve him. Because if we sometimes we try to act like we all big and bad after the enemy came, and sometimes we really are. But then if another test comes, we just may fall that next time. And so we got to make sure we discern and make sure that we are not going past our faith and going past what really is in us. And so that's when the angels came and served Christ and said, let's feed you because we ain't got time to lose you.
Jesus.
You've got to learn discernment and make sure that we don't go past what. Oh, my God, y'all. I hope y'all being blessed by this tonight. This is true manna. And the Bible says, and that's when they came to serve him. And so that's why we got to be very careful. We gotta be careful. Sometimes we bite off more than we can chew.
Come on. That's good.
We come up against devils that we know he ain't got no business. But we try to show this power and we try to show this might. I'm an elder now, so I can handle anything. No. No.
First of all,
title. At all.
Right?
At all. And so I want to make sure we're still on time here. And so that is what the Lord is saying. Is that make sure you don't bite off more than you can chew. And just because it looks contrary, follow the rest of it out. Follow the rest of it out. Get all the answers. Keep believing in me. That know that first that the enemy is coming for that unbelief. After you confess it, after the man had confessed that he had unbelief, then the spirit still tried to prove that it was wrong. See? The God that you serve, he ain't real. You see? The faith that you had in this man from Galilee,
Jesus.
He ain't real.
Jesus.
And that's where God is saying, believe in me. Give me all. And that's where we have to pray that it's not bad to have unbelief. It happens to all of us. We can't all have just all full faith in every. There are going to be some times where some of us do doubt.
Yeah.
And I don't want you to ever think that that's wrong. We are in a life where we will doubt. There are things that are showing us and saying doubt. Do this. Do that. We're losing people. People that are strong in the ministry. People that are doing this. But the Bible says that even the very elect can be deceived. And that's why we got to make sure that our faith is not in no man. No preacher. Because the Bible says even the very elect. With Carlton Pearson. Y'all, I don't know if y'all know who that is. Carlton Pearson. Carlton Pearson was I know you know who Carlton Pearson is. But Carlton Pearson was such a huge preacher. Huge, y'all. I mean, and the man could sing. The man had wonderful revelation. If not that the man, I don't know if he discovered T.D. Jakes. He probably did.
I know he did. Zeus discovered a lot of.
I, and he was that was his organization, right? Exactly. He had
brought all the like mighty people like T.D. Jakes and all, Donnie McClurkin, they were nothing. And he brought them to the forefront. And so
that name sounds really funny.
Yeah, so he brought Donnie McClurkin, T.J. all into the forefront. All of them. That's how they became big, because they would preach at his conferences. You got to call up the Pearson's shirt, my God. And he was like their same age, or not if not younger. But he had such a huge, huge platform. Mm-hmm. The enemy tricked him. Mm-hmm. You know how the enemy tricked him? Mm-hmm. Is that his grandparents had ended up passing away. I just watched the movie, but it didn't show that part. But I'll tell you the movie part. The movie part is where the enemy tricks him because his uncle asked him, will you write a letter for me? His uncle was like 60 years old and he was in prison. I forgot what he was in prison for. And so he said, will you write something for me? Because they found drugs in my cell and they're not mine. So will you write something for me? And so Carlton Pearson, he's all in faith and he's like, I can't do that. He's like, because first off, you're not saved. And that was his thing. You're not saved. You're not doing this. You're not even trying to live right.
You can't write a letter, boy. That's a whole piece of
that, but that's not the part, okay, we are. But yeah. But he, because he, right. And so, but he, his whole point, his whole thing was, you're not saved. If I write this letter, it ain't nothing to you. You're not going to come to church. You're not going to do this.
He in jail. And he,
no, but okay, there are options church that he could have. But
no,
he was getting ready to get out. That was the other thing. He was actually getting ready to get out. All he needed was the letter. And so the Bible says, And so the story, in the movie, the next, I think it was the next day or next 2 days, his uncle committed suicide.
Jesus, see?
And so that ate him up inside. He said, I feel like that all I had to do was write the letter, which was all he had to do. And he said, and my uncle died without Christ. And so then he also said that what another backstory that they didn't show in the movie that everybody pretty much knows about Carlton Pearson is that his grandparents were in the church and they backslid and they stopped going to church. His grandparents. And so they died without getting back in the church and without having a relationship with God. And that's what he did. And so, but he was such in that mindset to where if you weren't in church, if you weren't seen, or if you weren't like that, then you're going to hell. And so he was that kind of preacher. Hell, hell, hell. If you don't see it, you ain't doing it. Hell, this, hell, hell. And that was the message of the 90s, of the 80s. That was the message. If I don't see you, you ain't got no relationship with God. As far as I know, you staying home and you watching me on TV and you ain't got no relationship with God. Hey, that's just how it was. And so that's what his family had seen. So the enemy tricked him. This is how the enemy tricked him. I told him, you think that a loving God, and you got to be careful with this now. He said, you think that you serve a loving God that where all these people that don't have a relationship, and he also seen something on in Africa, that people were dying and stuff like that. He watched something on TV and he had seen young people were dying from AIDS, I believe, and it was so much stuff happening. And so he had seen that on the news and he had seen all these people dying. And so he said, the Lord said that you think that all these people are dying and they're just, they have no hope and your God is just sending them to hell. That's your God? That's what your God is doing. He said, that's what God had told him. God said, how did you think, how you think that I'm going to just do that? I'm an all loving God. And I'm all this and I'm all that. And I've done this and I've done that. And I'm proving myself. And there is no hell.
Oh, hold on.
And he said, and none of that is going to happen.
What? He said, okay.
That there is no hell. I'm a loving God. And that's all I do. I'm just paraphrasing. That's all I do. All I do is love.
Like Revelation just wasn't there.
And so in the story, in the story,
Jesus is the nice one.
And so,
God.
And so, guys, And so the story, and I bet anybody, if you have Netflix, go see that. It's called Come Sunday. It's a great movie. I enjoyed the movie.
He said, what now?
And so he said that God said, you think that I would do that? That I'm just going to send people to hell, and that I'm this loving God. I don't, you know. And so, so where he got to the point where there was a musician that was living a certain lifestyle, and it was his music. She was very, very close to him. And he had lost his church. After he got up and said that, half of his church, they tried to get it right with him. And they said, please, you are an amazing pastor. You're an amazing, please try. They said, maybe you, it all happened to us. You know, we get crazy sometimes. We'll send you out. They basically were like writing stuff. It was like, please. And it got to the point where they wrote something out for him. He said, okay. And he said, you know, I'll give it up and I'll say that I was wrong. And it got to the point where he got up there, and the musician that he was with was living a certain lifestyle. He was so sick. It broke my heart. Man was so sick. So sick. They didn't know what it was back then, but yeah, so sick. I mean, at death's bed, so sick. And he said, Pastor. He says, he had ended up moving after Carlton Pearson ended up, his church was being auctioned off, stuff in the church was being auctioned. He lost everything. And so after he had said that, he lost everything. He had to.
Some people were trying to be loyal.
He had some loyal people, but where he was in, it wasn't his. He was just. Everything was being optional.
Wait, so he was at first preaching, okay.
Yeah.
You break your leg, you don't come to church, you go to hell. Like, hell.
All this stuff. Right? And then after he got to just all this stuff.
And then it was like, well, I mean, it ain't really no hell.
I'm complaining about that. Right?
Like,
yeah.
Hey, that was just to get y'all in here. But now that y'all in here, ain't no.
And there was biblical stuff that people were like, that's not right in the Bible. That you are, there's nothing that's going to help you stand on that. And so his stuff started getting auctioned off. And so it got to the point where the musician, a lot of people ended up moving. Some other people went to another church. And some people just left the church.
Yeah.
He heard a lot of people just left the church. And so this boy ended up getting really, really sick. And he ended up going to Texas. And so he had wrote a note to one of Carlton Pearson's administrators. And they gave him the note. And he hadn't seen him in a couple of years. And so he went back to go get him. He said, I haven't seen you. And he was like, but he said, my sickness is not getting any better. It's getting worse. And what I need to know before anything, is this what you preaching for real? Is this what you preaching is for real? Like, I need to know, because the Bible says, and he's been reading, he's like, the Bible says this and this and this, and I don't want to wait until I get down there and I believe in this stuff that you said, and next thing you know, something is totally different.
Read it for yourself. And I trust you. That's sad.
And when I say he was so close to him.
That is so sad.
And he says, I'm sure of this just as I'm sure of my name. And guess what? I don't know if the boy ended up believing it. The story never said that he died. I don't know if he's still living. I'm sure he's probably his past now. But I don't know. And he prayed for him.
So Carlton Pierce said, I'm sure there's no hell.
Just as this, I'm sure in this faith that I'm sure as this. But the thing was, he didn't go for that lifestyle.
Yeah.
So he still had standards.
Yeah.
And the boy even knew that. He said, you know, what are you saying? Because they all had questions. He was like, so what? Like, I could live any kind of way. And then there ain't no, you know, so I get the part. And he was like, no, there are standards, you know, that still serve God. But if you happen to be in this place, you know, or something like that.
Yeah.
It's all right. And so he ended up starting his church over and building it from scratch. And they say he's doing well now, and Carlton is still around. But he's very quiet because there's not
Because he does not believe in hell.
Yeah, yes. There are nobody really here. But that's where a lot of people go. A lot of people that are now not believing that are going to him. He started that movement. There's a lady in San Francisco. I had no idea that he paired with her. I forgot her name. But she lives that same lifestyle. And so he pairs with her. And she's a bishop. She does a lot of things. She's in San Francisco, so I'm sure you guys can get that. But she has her own church. Yeah. And so he started that with her. And then after that happened, then they just start flourishing into a whole different way. And it got to the point where I heard him say that Jesus, this is about to mess y'all up,
okay,
is going to have to apologize to the devil. That's what he said.
I'm so confused.
But it ain't no hell, so.
I'm so confused.
He had said so much. I forgot the context.
So where is he at? Where is he located right
not
now?
Really, I'm so
where
confused.
Is he? Where is he at?
Where is he? Is this a cult?
This
got to
be a cult.
I have to read his mission
statement
because this is
all in my life.
Hold on, I was Googling him. He said he's going to have to apologize.
It's all inclusive. That's what they call it. All inclusive gospel. And so I know it was a very, very big thing that was on Facebook. They said that the enemy, that Jesus was going to have to apologize to the enemy. And I forgot what the context was, but he was going to have to turn around and apologize to the enemy.
I'm disgusted.
But they didn't reference on scripture.
And if you guys are on Facebook, I'll find that video and tag you. Yes, ma'am.
I'm thinking about what you said earlier, how the devil will take the word and twist it.
He will.
Yes. Don't know.
Yeah.
But what we forget about is, I always think of things in the natural and spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And we get more focused on in the natural.
Mm-hmm.
And when spiritual things come, a lot of us are not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like there was a point where, just as we was reading about Jesus at his weakest state,
mm-hmm,
the same thing for him. He had lost something so great, and he was weak at that time. And when the enemy presented himself,
mm-hmm,
with some foolishness, he didn't have either some people around him at that time. Whatever the case was, he accepted some truth mixed in with the lie.
Right.
It's so easy to do that because he's on such a high platform that we go, that's foolishness. But people do it every single day. They'll say, I believe this part of the Bible, but I don't believe that part of the Bible. So it's to me more of a spiritual battle. When you're at your weakest state, that's when that spiritual side comes in. And if you're open to receive whatever,
I agree with that totally. Because technically, the Lord is all inclusive God. He is the God of everybody. He loves everybody. He wants everybody to follow after him.
Right.
But he also is a God of rules.
Right.
He doesn't just have rules for someone of a particular lifestyle,
right,
and they're the only ones going to hell. He got rules for everybody. Everybody got rules.
Right, right. And the thing where I think and where it was they said that his wife that he was married to. I encourage anybody, go see that. Go see it. It's on Netflix. Yeah, huh?
I'm sorry.
You said did she divorce him?
Movie.
No, she did not divorce him. They said that she was actually the movement. I've been hearing this story a lot, so she's been in the movement. The Bible says, I don't know why. Y'all know I'm just so insane. I'm so used to talking, but I got some insight, and I've been talking about this story, and I've been finding out more and more about this story over the years. Somebody was telling me that it got to the point right before he had a breakdown. They said that's when it happened, that he had a breakdown, and they said that his kids. No, there was a prophet. They said that there was this really, really strong prophet. Like it was like his father, that was like a father to him. Came to the church and told him that this woman that you have married is a Jezebel. And everything that you have right now, if you don't get a hold of it, it's going to crash and fall at your ground. And whatever you believe in, he said, this is the prophecy. And whatever you believe in, he says, it's going to get to the point where at your last days, you're going to realize that you was wrong. And you're going to regret everything that you did.
So his wife was in this all along?
Mm-hmm. Now, the movie doesn't show that.
But that's what...
Mm-hmm. That know him and know the backstory of it. Said yeah. And told him in front of the church. And this is what he did. He had said, you are a lying prophet.
And if it's public like that, that means that the Lord...
Has said, you are a lying prophet. I don't believe in it. I don't believe what you said. And guess what? What she was doing had caused all this to happen. It's happening now. What he's believing in, what had failed, right? He had a whole church, everything is falling right now.
Oh, crap. Everything is a prophet.
And he gonna realize. Okay. The prophet told him. And you're gonna realize. And the prophet ended up dying. Jesus. Older man ended up dying. But he was his father, like a father to him. And he said, you are a liar. He was the most accurate prophet ever, they said. Most accurate prophet ever. And they had said that he had told him. And the Bible says that warning comes before destruction.
Yes. If the Lord gives someone something, and I'm not just talking about the old guy, but if the Lord gives someone something and it's public like that, that means that he's already dealt with you in private. Not once, but several times. And for it to be a public display, that means that you need it to be corrected.
Exactly. Right.
And so, that's why be careful who you marry. Because in the movie you could tell that first off she wasn't feeling any of the stuff that he was saying. Not the new stuff. I'm talking about the old stuff, you know, preaching holiness and all that stuff. You could just tell. And she had told him, she was like, you already know, I don't like doing this. You know, I don't like this church. Like, she went down on him. Was like, you know, I don't like this.
I don't even think
it's
safe.
She just wanted to be right.
And so that was an open door. And so that's to the point where he had got to the point where he started preaching this whole all-inclusive stuff.
Yeah.
And then he got to the point where he was like, I'm wrong. I think I am wrong. Like, do you even believe what I'm saying?
He's still preaching. I just looked it up on Google. He's still preaching.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, yeah. He has his own church.
Yeah.
Right? He has like a master's degree in this. Like, he's like teaching people this. I mean, I would think that if you're going to come up with something new, you study it all the way.
Yeah.
And he's using scripture.
I feel like this was such a...
I mean, yeah, it's the whole two truths and a lie thing.
That kind of makes me wonder how the gift that God gave him.
Right.
It's not being used.
He still has a gift to lead. It didn't go anywhere.
Yeah.
But he also came from a generation that was real legalistic.
True.
Which goes directly against the word of God, too.
True.
So, in some ways... And that's where my question was. So when you lose your mind, I've been there.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm telling you. 17, I lost my mind. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, coming in a legalistic church.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, no red, no.
No, no, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Your idea of holy is so then when everything go out of whack, you like, wait a minute. So you start thinking all kinds of things. Because your first belief is contrary to the word of God anyway. The Bible said I came to abolish the law.
Yes.
So if you're so legalistic, you already against the word of God.
And that's exactly the question that I was about to ask.
So he tried to make this logical.
Thank you.
And the Bible can be changed and interpreted in different ways. Because they would always interpret the Bible. And I started reading and I was like, y'all read it, but this is what I read and this is what it's saying.
Yep.
And so I believe that he came from a generation of that legalism. So already you're going against, then you marry? I think this speaks profoundly to allowing strongholds to reside in your life and then making a choice on a husband or wife.
Yeah.
You better get delivered before you fix the choice, before you get married.
Yeah,
before you
get married.
So it is 8:05, but I hope this Bible study did help you all.
It did.
Yes.
I hope this was very informative.
Yeah.
I know we don't give homework, but I do want to give homework tonight.
Oh, wait a minute.
Just listen, guys. Just listen. I do have a homework for you tonight that I just wish is optional, but I really, really would push the issue. Please go watch that movie.
Oh,
go watch that movie. It's just like an hour. It's called.
Group chat,
okay, I will. It's called Come Sunday, if you can. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
So if you have Netflix. If you don't have Netflix, I got an account that maybe you could log into.
Let me tell you something. Don't log
And you just watch. You just watch Omasa. My name is Kai Fry.
Don't let me log into it.
It's Lily's stuff. It's Lily's stuff.
I was on Tyler's Netflix for so long.
It's Lily's stuff. I don't have it, but it's Lily's stuff. But yeah, right, right.
I was
so, you ain't got Netflix, but that would be your homework. It's optional, but I would tell anybody, please go watch that movie. Just so you can get an insight of it. I think it was really a great movie. And you can see what is happening, you know, so that you are not, you know, like, oh, it's only us. It's only Christians. No, it's not, y'all. And the enemy is taking what we are saying tonight. He's flipping it all the way around. And the thing is, and the thing about Carl Tepierson, I can say I love, he'll make sure, and he said, I'm going to study this. And he did. And he's not going to come up with no information that he's not just going to study.
Yeah.
So where nobody, he had a, I mean, they've had, you can find on YouTube, if you listen, look at all the stuff with Carl Tepierson, they had a whole thing of bishops on there. I mean, theologians, okay. And all, I know, right? Theologists, I'm sorry. You know, like they were sitting. I thought, it's, you know,
theology.
She's smart, so
you know, Kyla, you know everything.
The study of theology, but sorry.
Okay.
Still going.
Anyway,
because she doesn't believe me. You know,
it doesn't even
but he had, they had all these people on the stage ready for him. I'm like ready for him. Like they coming, and they probably did make an argument and whatnot, and they did go against. But guess what? It didn't stop him.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, and what is your point? Like what? Like I've done my study. I believe what I believe. You believe what you believe. I'm not here to argue with you. For real. And he's stuck right there. Yes, ma'am.
I think one of the things too that I've learned, the strongest thing in this world is belief. Even if somebody believes foolishness, right. It is very, very powerful. And if they're believing the wrong thing, we try to convince.
It don't work that way.
And it makes people believe more.
I have a brother that lives in Atlanta that is so, he's in a different lifestyle. And when I say that, he is so. I'm just in a lifestyle. He's in a different lifestyle. And he goes in Atlanta, they have a church.
They do.
They have a church where a man is married to the man,
yes.
And and they're bishops. I seen it on Snapchat. I couldn't believe it. They're bishops. This in Ohio, but that's not that one. That one's in Ohio. You know about that one too.
No.
But this one, he's in Atlanta, and I mean they laying hands. They doing the same stuff we doing, y'all. Just the same word that we preaching. They preaching it. I don't know what their belief is. I don't know if they're taking out hell. I don't know if they all inclusive. I don't know. And he is so in it, you can't take him out of it. And he's about to become a pastor.
Shook. I see.
He's about to become a pastor. He was like, oh yeah, brother. They calling me an overseer. You know, I'm about to get ready to open another church over here. And I'm like, God bless you. God bless you. And he's so, I mean, he studied the word. He got a calling on his life. And all this stuff. Studying the word like it's no boy can say. I mean, he's amazing. He's an amazing guy. Yeah. And that don't break me and his relationship at all. Yeah. Whatever you choose, okay, that's fine with you.
As it should.
But this is where they're doing. They're taking our gospel. And I'm telling you, they was at a church. I mean, church all the way. I mean, dancing, hollering, running, crying. They had it got me so bad. You know, Elder Shanae, when she praise danced, they had praise dancers up there that were men that had the dresses on. Like, what she has on, they have that on. They are believing what they are saying. It's real.
The Bible says so.
And they laying hands. They setting people into office. They doing all this stuff. They sending them out. Go start a church. Go do this. And they preaching the same gospel we preaching. I'm telling you, that's why you got to be careful. What you say, Chris?
I said, at least stay open in it, because it's like, you can open it so many times, and you can ignore some things so many times.
Yeah.
But you're going to keep on looking at it, you're going to keep on seeing something. I feel like.
But you can't deny that part.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'm going to take 80% of this or 90% of this, but this 10%, it's like eating an orange or something. It's
right.
Like, I'm going to peel this off, but it's like you're going to keep on doing it until you kind of...
Right. So I'm sure they're taking that whole, what does Nan say? Eat the meat and spit out the bones, something like that. You know, that she always say. I'm sure that's their motto.
Yeah.
You know, oh, this doesn't apply to us anymore.
Yeah.
Well, that was back in the old days, you know? Of course, but I'm letting you know now. And that's what I'm letting you know. Anybody can come up to us. And I say it all the time. Jehovah Witnesses, all of they know their faith.
They do.
They believe in what they believe. But why is it when we come to Christianity, we got wavering faith?
We got wavering faith on how we explain it.
Yeah.
I think
that's where it loses it. And being a witness, you're going to have to really
brush up on that. I think it's on explaining it. And then I also think it's because with Christianity, unfortunately, some people have this belief that, yes, the higher you go, you know, the more that you can be attacked. But it has like this odd belief that you're gonna have to struggle to be a Christian, if that makes sense. Or like it's like so bad to be a Christian, like everybody else is, you know, doing amazing who's not a Christian, but when you're a Christian, you're gonna be broke
forever. Right.
You know, all of this stuff, you're gonna be, you know, poverty. It's just everything is woe is me when you're a Christian,
right.
And that's what people honestly believe.
Right, right. So that's, again, that's your homework for this week. Until next Thursday, tell me what you feel. Text me. You guys all have my number, so text me and tell me how you feel about the movie. It's called Come Sunday. I will send that to you again. It's called Come Sunday. Do your research on him if you want to. Be careful, I say.
Yeah.
Be very, very careful. The Lord is not leading you to watch the movie. That's fine. The movie is not for everybody. If you know you're not already showing your faith, and you may be tempted, maybe he is right. Tyler, you know, hey. You know, it's a different, I'll say this, it's a different point of view. It is a different point of view. Yeah.
He knew the work, and he backed
it. It's a different.
I'm
going to tell you, Stephanie, pray all night.
I'm going to
tell you. I'm going to tell you, Stephanie, pray all night with you.
He might have told him. The Lord, okay, he told people that, okay.
Next down, go. Anyway, Kylie. But we're gonna get up and in. So let's go, guys. We're going to pray. We're getting ready to get out of here. So that will be your only homework until next Thursday. Tell me how that goes for you if you can watch it. If you got to study your word before you do it, do whatever it takes, y'all. Because this is a different... It can happen. I'm not kidding you. It can happen. The enemy, at any open door, he can... If he see an open door, he'll say, yep, that's my door. So I don't want that door. I don't want you guys... I don't want to lead you to a door where you know you're not strong enough. So if you're not strong enough in your faith, or if you just... don't know what you may be thinking after this movie,
yeah.
I would pray, ask the Lord as he leads you. If you don't watch it, hey, I ain't got nothing to grade you again. You know, I understand. Father God, we thank... Any prayer requests?
Yes. So, I got like my second driver's test tomorrow.
Come on, baby boo.
I have bad test anxiety. Not like, it's really, really bad to the point where I feel like I'm about to throw up and I'll forget everything.
Wow.
You've
been driving.
Yeah, no, I know. And I was driving before then, but I have bad test anxiety. I'll forget simple questions like, where's the defroster? So it's really bad to just pray for me. Because I've been driving illegally.
That's a true prayer, Jesus.
I guess people get arrested.
I just wanted to, you know, just after hearing about the pastor that committed suicide,
yeah.
And I have some friends in ministry pastors, and it's just such a heaviness.
Mm-hmm.
So just praying for our pastor as well as other pastors, because this world at this time is just so much that they're holding, and we don't think about, you know, just...